professional shippers. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Not the sort of allegations generally associated with U.S. Marines. Murder, kidnapping, conspiracy, and other things. CBS's David Martin.
The charge sheets allege that these eight men broke into the Iraqi's house, dragged him away, bound him hand and foot, shot him, and planted a stolen shovel and rifle next to his body to make it look like he was an insurgent caught in the act of planting a roadside bomb.
Seven Marines, one Navy corpsman. Two sides to every story, says defense attorney Colonel Jane Siegel.
I can't tell you precisely what my client has said, but I will tell you that we are maintaining, regardless of today's charges, the innocence of my client.
The eight are in the brig at Camp Pendleton, grand jury, possible courts martial to come. Some Democrats have proposed hard timetables for U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq, even though Republicans say they know they've got no chance of it being passed. Now Republicans are striking back.
Defending what polls show is an increasingly unpopular war, Republicans are attacking the Democrats who want to pull troops out of Iraq.
A policy of retreat, a policy of appeasement, a policy of surrender.
The rhetoric from Texas Republican John Cornyn is over the top, says Democrat Hillary Clinton, and they're defending a policy that isn't working.
This is politics at its worst, played over war.
Most Democrats are supporting a non-binding resolution to say troop withdrawal should begin this year, but others want a one-year deadline for total withdrawal. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Gunplay at a federal prison in Tallahassee, Florida, leaves a corrections officer dead as well as one federal agent. CBS News correspondent Peter King is there. Peter, what's the latest?
The dead agent has been identified as William Centner, a veteran of the Orlando Justice Office. FBI Special Agent Mike Fulmer calls it a sad day for law enforcement. He says the shooting happened as the shooter, a prison guard, was being arrested for giving a prisoner alcohol for sex and cash. One of six guards who was supposed to be arrested today, a wounded lieutenant, will survive. Harley?
All right, Peter King, there in Tallahassee, Florida. Mid-sized SUV sales are down again, continuing a trend of several months. Even the vaunted Ford Explorer is feeling the pinch.
The major ones, the Explorer, the Trailblazer, the Grand Cherokee, the Durango, the Sorento from Kia, and a few others. I mean, they are down substantially, but they're not going to go away.
Tom Libby at J.D. Power & Associates. Two big reasons for the slowdown: so many vehicles, so many choices, and, of course, the high price of fuel. There's a proposal in the works to limit the number of fast food restaurants in New York City, where every imaginable food is available. City Councilman Joel Rivera says limiting fast food would help fight obesity in the Big Apple. On Wall Street, the Dow jumped 104 points to close at 11,079. The Nasdaq rose 34 points. Oil prices, $70.33 a barrel, up 99 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Some people would rather look at nature on the boob tube than be out there amongst it.
Ah, nature, the national parks, out in the crisp air with the birds and the clear blue sky and the mountains. I like it so much, I could watch it over and over.
According to a study, Americans are less interested in spending time in natural surroundings like national parks because they can watch it on TV and the VCR. The Nature Conservancy found per capita visits to the parks have been declining for years, but TV viewing of nature programs and just about everything else is way up. Have you seen the shots of the bear? Jim Shenaby, CBS News.
One of the men most responsible for America's TV habits, Aaron Spelling, is 83 and he's had a stroke. He is responsible for Love Boat and Dynasty. And Charlie's Angels, Melrose Place, and Fantasy Island, Aaron Spelling resting comfortably. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus.
Peter B. Collins!
Oh, and this was supposed to happen automatically.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You can tell it's live. Unrehearsed, unscripted, coming to you from the left coast of these United States. On the program today, we're going to talk about a scorecard for Congress according to middle-class issues. Coming up in half an hour, Andrea Batista Schlesinger will join us, executive director of the Drum Major Institute. Also going to talk about AT&T revising its privacy policy. That's right, one of America's biggest phone companies is trying to jam a new policy on its customers, allowing them the unfettered right to share your phone records with the government. Also on today's show, Larissa Alexandrovna, the Raw Story investigative reporter. She'll update us on the situation in Iran and President Bush's reception in Vienna, where he met with some of our European allies earlier today. That's all ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome to join us whenever the urge strikes you to join the conversation. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. To kick off the show, we welcome progressive Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from Illinois, who represents Evanston, where I used to live. Hello, Congresswoman.
Hi, Peter.
Thank you for joining us today. I enjoyed meeting you in Washington last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I only regret that we had an interview before you gave your powerful speech to the Take Back America conference.
Oh, thanks.
It was terrific, and I can't tell you how delighted and pleased I was to hear a Democratic leader like you acknowledge the significant issues about voting integrity in this country.
I actually apologize for not taking seriously enough the allegations that the 2004 election was stolen. I think there seemed to be a lot of pressure at the time to kind of get over it and move on and you know, look forward. But I'll tell you, and I'm sorry to say that, you know, even though constituents came to me, it was Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s article in Rolling Stone, was the 2004 election stolen, that I just found it impossible after reading that to conclude anything other than yes. It was.
Well, on behalf of people, and I'm not alone, but I am one voice who has been speaking repeatedly about these issues, I very much appreciate the acknowledgement, and the apology really isn't necessary from you individually, but I appreciate it, you know, that Democrat leaders are understanding the depth of the issue, and that this is tied to a number of other issues, that we've seen incredibly low turnout, only 30% in California for our primary, and only 3.5% in Virginia for the contested Senate primary that was focused on the issues of the war in Iraq. And I believe that part of that is that there are people who believe that if an election is close, that their vote actually won't count because it could be hijacked.
Well, I think that certainly is possible, and the Republicans we're hearing talk right now that there is an effort to diminish the vote even more, to make everyone prove their citizenship when they vote. Imagine having to walk around with your birth certificate, although the truth is what that means is that anybody of color who speaks with an accent or a little bit, you know, slightly brown-skinned or a certain last name will, you know, be quizzed about their citizenship and have to bring all that documentation, other proposals that you have to have, a picture ID when you actually go to vote. These are all voter suppression techniques that they seem to want to employ.
Well, and the way I've described the Ohio 2004 election is that the Republicans used every available method to game or manipulate the outcome. And some of it had to do with sending messages to ex-felons or people who had names similar to ex-felons, going to, you know, installing precinct walkers or watchers who were there to try to discourage people from voting. We know about the assignment of the voting machines. Not enough went into the precincts that were likely to vote Democratic. And those methods don't appear to be on their face illegal. I consider them undemocratic and unethical. But I also believe
and
that
also
Republicans...
they added up to, according to this to this article, if you put that all those things that you mentioned together, about 357,000 Ohio voters who were prevented from casting their ballots or didn't have their votes counted, and that's more than enough to shift the results.
Indeed it is. And so when we look at this, Congresswoman Schakowsky, I know that there are many people who say that there are these whining blogger conspiracy theorists who can't get over Ohio in 2004.
Yep.
Well, I was born and raised in Ohio, and I'm ashamed of about what occurred there, but I believe I'm over it. What I want to do is make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Right. I mean, I think what we need right now is a major coordinated effort where we have experts, election lawyers, technology experts who go into every swing district and every swing state. I mean, Ohio is really ground zero in terms of the Senate and the House races. There's an important gubernatorial race, too. We send those experts in right now to assess the machines, the ballots, the registration process, every aspect of the election. Who are the election authorities in those particular districts? What are the rules? What, you know, all that. Now, in a very systematic, a very calm way, well, we go in and we're able right now to flag those areas where there may be a problem and address it. And if it takes a lawsuit or if it takes some sort of a protest, whatever it is, you know, redoing the ballots, throwing out the machines, whatever it is, that rather than waiting until November 8th to, you know, what's that? The president couldn't get it right either. What is it? Fool me once, shame
right.
on,
shame
you know.
On you.
Well, you know, it seems like it has been fool me twice, shame on me. That maybe we have, it seems as if we have two times now. Really mess this up.
Well, here in California, we are still concerned about District 50, the special election to replace Duke Cunningham. It was very close, 4,732 votes the morning after separated Brian Bilbray, the named winner, from Francine Busby. And at the time that she conceded, there were 60,000 uncounted votes in San Diego County.
Really?
And since then, we've learned that many of the machines were outside of secure custody. They were given to election workers to take home, drive around in their cars, sit in a garage, or maybe even attempt to play video games on. But they were not secured by the registrar for the period directly before the election. And I don't have confidence in that outcome. I'm not as close as Francine Busby is to the situation, but I wish she would stand and fight, not concede, until that election is finally certified.
You know, I do think that when the shoe is on the other foot, what we have found is that the Republicans don't give ground, not an inch. And I really think we have to take a lesson from that.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fully agree with that. And, you know, the other high point, there were two other high points of the Take Back America conference, your Senator Barack Obama's speech, and also John Kerry's remarkable speech, where he gave the clearest position I've ever heard from him on the war in Iraq. I'm still waiting for a clear position from Senator Kerry on what happened to him in 2004. We know Mark Crispin Miller met him at a party, and he reports that Senator Kerry acknowledged at that point that the election was stolen from him. But publicly, he's not willing to go that far.
Well, I'm awfully glad, at least, though, that on the issue of the war, that Senator Kerry has become clear on this. You know, I'm looking at the cover of the American Prospect magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It says $1.27 trillion. That's $1 million a day. For 3,487 years, that's what we're spending on Iraq. Imagine that. Imagine that. And what they say inside is $1 million a day from the day Moses walked out of Egypt until now.
Well, going forward, Congresswoman, it is the Bush birth tax. They're trying to get rid of the death tax, and they're replacing it with the Bush birth tax, which is the deficit that will be going forward.
Well, it's currently about $30,000 every man, woman, and child. I mean, every baby that's born now is carrying that burden,
mm-hmm.
but it's growing by the minute.
And the real war tax is now being paid at the pump.
Partly at the pump, and that's only one way that we're paying for it, yeah.
You're right. Let's take a phone call. Dave's on the line for Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky from Chicago. Welcome, Dave.
Well, thank you, Peter. And my gosh, I can't tell you how happy I am to be hearing a member of Congress saying what you were saying. I have just wondered why are so many members of Congress turning a deaf ear to this. I have no question in my mind the Republicans had these crooked machines designed for the intent of cheating. They have been doing it the last several elections. They fully intend to do it again. Russ Holt's bill to have them made verifiable.
Right, paper trail.
They've blocked that like crazy. They fully intend to go on cheating. I mean, how else would goons like that end up in the White House? Anyway, do you have any thought on why more members aren't on a soapbox hollering this out all over the place?
Well, you know, again, with all due respect to those pioneers who really led the way and have just grabbed onto this relentlessly, and I thank you all for that, the fact that it got the kind of publicity that it did, I think has really been a wake-up call. I've talked to Rahm Emanuel about it. In fact, I was sitting next to him on the plane while he was reading the article in the Rolling Stone magazine and shaking his head, and so, you know, I think there suddenly has been this breakthrough where people are recognizing it. Now we have to follow it up with action, and people like me are going to really be pushing for it. But you know,
and tell us, Congresswoman, what you have asked Rahm Emanuel, who heads the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, to do in terms of activating Democrats to become poll watchers or other witnesses to the activities on Election Day.
Yeah, my concern right now is that we have teams that go out well in advance of Election Day. I'm talking about right now to look at what the plans are for elections. I think it's really too late when it's happening on Election Day. We need to know, for example, that there's going to be enough voting machines in each precinct, not on Election Day, but well in advance.
Well, that's a very good point. Dave, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you so much, Congresswoman, and I really appreciate it, and I hope you will take a vigorous lead to get people awake to what a nightmare this is. This is our democracy at stake. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, we've got to push harder on the Rush Holt bill, and we've got to work harder. I'm a co-sponsor also of the Count Every Vote Act of 2005, Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio. But, you know, it's hard to pass legislation, Democratic-sponsored legislation in the House. So we just have to take matters into our own hands and have these professional teams that are going on, starting now all the way through and past Election Day. You know,
yep.
You were talking about Francine Busby, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
We have to keep going even when the votes are so-called counted.
I certainly agree. Congresswoman, I just want to extend to you my offer that anytime you'd like to come on this program to talk about these issues, we'll make time for you. I consider it, you know, fundamental and very critical to the future of our democracy and any hopes that we have of ending the one-party grip on rule in Washington.
Thanks so much, Peter.
I'd just like to point out two quick resources for you. I know that Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com followed up with you after your speech last week, and I believe he interviewed you. He's a great activist on this issue. And the other thing I'd like to just refer for your edification is that we also believe there were serious problems with the referenda vote in Ohio in November of 2005. And to get full information on that, you can go to freepress.org, which is Harvey Wasserman's site in Columbus, Ohio. And it's just stunning, because the one issue that was backed by the Republicans passed within three-tenths of a point of the pre-election polling, and the other issues, which were redistricting, which were to reduce the amount of campaign money that any individual could contribute, some good government measures like that, they all went down by a wide disparity from the pre-election polling. And it has raised some of the same questions about the use of electronic machines for both the actual voting and for tabulation. And I would invite you to take a look at that.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Me too. Thanks. Bye.
That's Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, Democrat from Chicago, a real progressive. And I am just so gratified by her awareness of the issue and her willingness to apologize to people like Dave and Brad and Harvey in Columbus and little old me for not paying close attention to the issues that we have raised to date. This is very encouraging, friend. If you'd like to make a comment, we have a short segment coming up, and you're welcome to call 831-899-5792 or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, don't miss our special guest, Glenn Plantone. He'll be telling us about the hottest areas to invest in. Glenn has just returned from his second trip to Costa Rica to tell us about some amazing property there. Can you say mucho gusto? That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Now heard from Big Sur to Eureka. Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 25 minutes past the hour. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to meet Andrea Batista Schlesinger. She's executive director of the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy, and they have just completed a thorough analysis of the votes in the Congress and the Senate over the last few years, and they've issued a scorecard reflecting the matters of concern to the middle class in America. And it's a sorry picture. We'll tell you about that coming up. Also on today's show, AT&T has revised their privacy policies so that they can collaborate with the government. And no nasty court orders or NSA and FISA court documents. Just, hey, the government asked for it. They're going to give it away. We'll talk with David Lazarus of the San Francisco Chronicle coming up next hour. Also, just a couple of items I wanted to mention to you. At truthout.org today, there's a very interesting article by Bob Geiger related to a bill that has been tabled in the Senate. It was an attempt to stop companies like Halliburton and others who've gotten these sweetheart contracts in Iraq and elsewhere from, you know, cheating and stealing, that sort of thing. Byron Dorgan of North Dakota introduced a Senate Amendment 4230, and it would have required, a cleanup of the process. And you would think that Republicans would say, well, maybe we're not excited about this, but it's too risky to oppose clean contracting. Oh, no. The Republicans in the Senate want to make everything safe for their corporate cronies, and by a 55-43 vote, they tabled the amendment, and you probably will never see it again. The president is on the road. He was in Vienna earlier today, and I believe he is going to spend his night in Budapest. But while in Vienna, he held a news conference and got some tough questions about the Iraq War and Guantanamo Bay. And one assertion from an Austrian vice chancellor was that the U.S. is the biggest threat to global security. And Bush said, oh, that's absurd. We'll defend ourselves, but we're actively working with our partners to spread peace and democracy. And also, according to Carolyn Kay, who runs an online blog, the president may have violated U.S. protocol while he was in Vienna because some of his buddies asked him to sign, autograph, an American flag. And when he did so, he broke the rules because you're not supposed to deface a flag. And you may be aware that in the United States Senate right now, there is a bill to prevent tampering with or burning the flag, defacing it in any manner. And, of course, we have great Americans like Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Rodham Clinton who are joining in on that jingoistic kind of nationalism BS. And somebody ought to just remind the president what the rules are so that we don't have to do that for him. We're going to take a quick break and return. And as we mentioned, our guest, Andrea Batista Schlesinger, will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Next hour, David Lazarus and Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. If you want to find out more about your humble host, go to PeterBCollins.com. That's a website with a picture and a biography and also links to our live daily stream and to the archives, which are held for us at the fine site WhiteRoseSociety.org. Podcasting available there, too. So we'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drive by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Thirty-three minutes past the hour as we continue on today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway, I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps. Sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
No, actually, this land was made for white Christian millionaires.
At least that's the impression you would get if you look at the way the Senate and the House vote on issues of importance to America's working middle class. And there's a new scorecard out that brings a sharp analysis to these issues, put out by the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. We welcome its executive director, Andrea Battista Schlesinger, to our program today. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, thanks.
Nice to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm reading your bio here, and it says that you have survived multiple appearances on the Lou Dobbs Show.
The last appearance, it was actually pretty close to not surviving.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure if it was me who wasn't going to survive or Lou. But definitely a difficult situation.
Yeah.
Somebody who's, you know, invites you in to talk about how the middle class is really impacted by immigration policy, but by the end, really there to lecture and to kind of to stir up a conversation that's more rooted in xenophobia than it is in economics.
Oh, indeed. And he is so obsessed with so-called amnesty that he really can't think straight, and sometimes it's kind of obvious watching him he can't quite see straight either.
You know, it's funny. The way I describe my relationship with Lou Dobbs is that we both have the same two, but we add 2 + 2, and I get 4, and he gets this bizarre nativist, let me spend half of my show showing images of Mexicans risking their lives to cross the border to stir up a frenzy, when he should be showing video clips of, you know, of big business making a decision to exploit, you know, immigrant workers. So, you know, we have the same ingredients and the same understanding of the dynamics, the failure of NAFTA, you know, what happens when we outsource jobs. We have the same understanding of what goes into the equation. But unfortunately, after the equal sign, that's where we lose Lou.
Yeah, and I appreciate that he is passionate about things that he cares about, but he really isn't interested in honest debate on immigration, and I feel like, you know, they're going to name a vigilante group after him, the Lou Dobbs Minutemen Brigade.
Which is unfortunate, because I really think, and actually the reason that I was on his show last is I wrote him a letter in which I made the case that he plays such an important role in this immigration debate because, unfortunately, the current debate is dictated by, you know, these kind of limited special interest perspectives. You've got the immigration advocates who do amazing work but are interested in ultimately their community. You've got big business, of course, give us as many workers as we can exploit. And then you've got the, you know, round them up on the horse groups. And there really is a vacuum when it comes to people who are willing to talk about what the interest is of those, you know, working Americans in the outcome of this immigration debate. And Lou really has the potential to lead that conversation.
Well, and do you think he's going to co-sponsor the Jimmy Sensenbrenner Roadshow this summer? They're going to go across the country and hold hearings to defend their Neanderthal position, the Sensenbrenner bill, which would criminalize the presence of virtually all undocumented individuals.
And it's strange because I don't actually think that Dobbs is sees things similarly to Sensenbrenner when it comes to pointing fingers at the right enemy. You know, I think Lou gets that it's big business and that's how you change immigration policy. But I can definitely see him, you know, doing this kind of duet because it's just easier to get your head around.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things that really troubles me about the coverage of the immigration issues, they are complex. And there is this attempt to distill them into very simple black and white issues and to essentially blame Mexicans and Mexico for the bulk of our problems. Now, it's fair to say that many of the undocumented in this country are Mexican nationals. But in California, we have over 1 million, maybe 1.5 million, illegal immigrants from Asia. There are in San Francisco hundreds of illegal Irish people who are here in this country. And we don't hear anything about white Europeans or Asians who are here in violation of our immigration statutes.
Sure. I mean, coming from New York, it's a similar dynamic. But I think what's missing in that conversation, and part of what we at the Drum Major Institute tried to bring to it, is how do we speak frankly about the critical role that illegal immigrants play in our economy? And talk about the need for immigration policy that's going to strengthen the workplace rights of everyone. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, immigration policy is going to fail if we have a permanent class of exploited workers. And unfortunately, thanks to the Lou Dobbs, they'll be pointing the fingers at those workers instead of at the businesses and the Congress that are allowing a policy of official exploitation.
Yeah, like the huge airlines that have simply said, we don't want to honor our pension commitments to employees of the last 30 or 40 years, like General Motors, saying, we're going to turn over our workforce because it's inconvenient for us to pay your health and pension benefits, and we're going to find some younger people who will work for less and for, you know, a much weaker benefit package. The real enemy is the, you know, the global corporations who are the employers whose, you know, greatest interest is keeping wages low. And to have the United Auto Workers, you know, angry at immigrants instead of at the management of Ford and GM really serves them well, doesn't it?
And it's ironic, of course, that we're talking about these bankruptcies as if they are inevitable at the same time. You know, Congress last year passing a bankruptcy act that makes it absolutely impossible for any middle-class person to start over.
Yeah.
It's one of the ironies that we deal with in this conversation about how our economy has changed and who's bearing the burden of that change.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger, tell us about the Drum Major Institute. What's your focus?
Well, we don't give drum lessons. That's the that's the first thing.
Have rhythm?
We do. We're founded initially during the Civil Rights Movement by lawyers and advisors to Dr. King, whom he would refer to as his think tank, helping think about how you do the political, the legislative, the communication strategy to build support for the movement. And today we are reborn as a next generation of think tanks, worried as much about who's reading our work as whether or not we've published it, and trying to advocate for an agenda that will resonate with the middle class as opposed to finding middle ground solutions, trying to get the middle class to understand that their interests are best represented in coalition in support of an agenda that supports economic justice.
And why is the middle class so quiet today? I really see the, you know, working families and middle-income people in this country have taken it on the chin repeatedly since Bush took office. And whether you're talking about the drag on wages, the increased health care costs that are increasingly borne directly by the worker, they used to be 100% paid by the employer, the increase in costs for tuition at public higher education institutions. See, here in California, tuition and fees have gone up dramatically over the last 3 years, while our Austrian-born action movie governor has been claiming, well, we haven't raised taxes. But the middle class has, you know, shared an increasing burden of the load, while taxes for the wealthy have been going down, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, under President Bush's tenure, public college tuition has gone up about 50%. So this is definitely a crisis. I don't know that the middle class has been silent. I think that they have expressed their frustration in poll after poll that shows them disillusioned with Congress and believing that both you know, Congress and the White House do not have their interests at heart. I think the disconnect comes in understanding the relationship between the public policy decisions made by the White House and by Congress and their increasingly squeezed lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do things like issue scorecards every year that specifically speak to the policies that Congress voted on that are of interest to, you know, the bottom line, to the kind of kitchen table concerns of those who are middle class or trying to work their way up.
Mm-hmm. And in creating this scorecard, you reviewed 2, 4, 6, 8 key votes in the Senate and the House over the past few years. And then you ranked the votes according to your sense of what is in the interests of the middle class. And then you assigned a percentage and converted that to a letter grade. So, for example, we touched on the bankruptcy law that makes it harder for average people who suffer a catastrophic setback or an illness that, you know, all of a sudden costs them $100,000. You gave an F to the Senate, a C to Senate Democrats, and an F to Senate Republicans. Now, that was an issue where far too many Democrats crossed over to vote with Republicans. 58% of Democrats voted in favor of the bankruptcy bill. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Am I reading that right?
58% of Senate Democrats voted against the interests of, or 58% rather, voted with the middle class, and which meant
so
that too many didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we found in our scorecard, which actually just looks at 2005 votes, is that when it came to bills where there was strong industry support, Republicans for sure failed, but too many Democrats failed along with them.
And the bankruptcy bill was put forward by banks and credit card companies. And, for example, Joe Biden is the senator from Delaware, where a lot of the credit card companies are centered. And he was one of those who disappointed me by supporting this backward legislation.
Yeah, and too many did. And, you know, obviously, to many, the bankruptcy bill is kind of is old news. But to us, in looking at the results of the scorecard, the real danger is when there were bills of direct consequence to the energy industry, to the insurance industry, to the credit card industry, to the pharmaceutical industry, too many Democrats voted with Republicans in putting the interests of big business ahead of middle-class Americans. That trend does not bode well.
No, it certainly doesn't. We're going to take a break, Andrea, and then talk more about this scorecard, some of the other issues that you rated Congress on in view of the relationship to the interests of the middle class. If you have a question or comment for Andrea, she's with us for another segment. Get on the line now, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. My guest is Andrea Batista Schlesinger, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. Their website, drummajorinstitute.com. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, we have a timely show about using and growing your intuition. World-famous author Sharon Frankamont and her daughter Megan will tell you just how to expand the way you intuit your life. This conversation and the good ideas will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Willis Harmon of Noetic Sciences said, "Intuition invites us into the center of our lives." Our show will invite you to go to your center. Hear Sharon's four simple steps for developing your intuition and the way Megan uses physical and emotional intuitive clues to make important decisions. Keep listening. We'll keep talking. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Don't miss our program on Using and Growing Your Intuition on Talking Matters this Saturday at 3.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
In what ways are boys and girls different at birth, and how do nature and nurture contribute to a child's gendered experience of life? I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to discuss the social and cultural influences on gender and hear suggestions for fostering a healthy sense of self in children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Tom Hartman.
And Hans Blix was saying, there's no threat there.
In a week and a half before we invaded, Hans Blix and Mohammed Al-Barr and I were going to submit a report to the UN saying, there's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction here. We have found the proof that they actually destroyed them. And Bush knew that. That's why he had to invade as quickly as he did.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's not a war. It's a crime. Invading another country is a crime. Just like when Hitler invaded Poland, this is a crime.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking with Andrea Batista Schlesinger. She's Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. You can read this scorecard for yourself at drummajorinstitute.com. They rated Congress on its recent votes, the 2005 session, related to middle-class interests. And Andrea, got to compliment you. Great website.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really easy to read, easy to navigate, and a lot of powerful information here. Now, let's give people a few more snapshots here from the scorecard that you put together. Again, you took issues of importance to the middle class and then took a look at Democrats and Republicans in each house. How about energy policy, the 2005 bill that in the end Tom DeLay jammed an extra $1 billion for Halliburton and a few other Texas cronies? And let's see, we show there that the overall Senate grade there was an F. Senate Democrats got a D, and Senate Republicans got an F. Now, Andrea, the pattern I'm seeing here is it's not surprising to me that Republicans will get low grades, even failing grades, on issues of the middle class. But we see a decline, don't we, in the support of Democrats for middle class issues?
We see a decline overall from this scorecard, last year's scorecard to this year. And where we see the movement, the difference is in the bills that are sponsored by industry. And that this is an unfortunate trend. I mean, it's the same thing we saw with the bankruptcy legislation. It's the same thing we saw, with CAFTA. It's an unfortunate, direction that too many Democrats are moving into. It's not all Democrats, but it's enough Democrats to make a difference to decide whether legislation passes or legislation fails.
Mm-hmm. And what is your sense of what voters can do to send an important message to Democrats in Washington that we don't want to be taken for granted, and we do want them to vote the right way on issues particularly related to the middle class?
The unfortunate state of affairs that other than shows like yours, it is very difficult just through the press, of course, with newspaper readership at an all-time low, but even with too many newspapers giving the essentially functioning as a press operation of the White House, it's very difficult to get information about the decisions that legislators are actually making. There's a lot of information that talks about politics as if it's a game of kind of inside baseball, because that melodrama is very appealing, of course. But it's very difficult to get information about what people are actually voting on. The number one thing that anybody can do is make an informed decision before you get into the voting booth. One of the things that we did, if I may, with this scorecard, is we started a Google AdWords campaign so that for the next month, whenever anyone searches by Google for a member of Congress, mm-hmm. an ad will pop up with his or her grade on our scorecard.
Wow.
And you'll be able to link directly from that Google ad to that to a page that summarizes that person's votes and that enables you to learn more about each piece of legislation and see how others voted on it.
Is that active now? Can I try it?
It is active now. You can try it right now.
All right. I'm going to pull up a new window here.
Okay.
I'm going to go to G-O-O. All right. That's all I need.
Uh-huh.
And so let's say Dianne Feinstein.
Yes.
I misspelled her name. Sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. Oh, I got too many A's in Dianne when I try to do this in a hurry. And she's got two N's in Dianne. Got to get that right. Okay, here we go. I don't need to do I'm feeling lucky, just a regular Google search, right?
It should be a regular Google search.
Okay.
I am looking for her as well. I hope we don't have any technical difficulties on her.
Okay, well, what came up in the sponsored links is a plug for a public radio station in Southern California.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
All right. It worked for Matt, though, my producer. He's online, too.
Yeah. It worked for,
Matt?
Yeah.
Matt's telling me Feinstein got a C.
Okay. Yep.
I wonder why it didn't come up for me here.
Yeah, that's strange.
All right. Let's try.
Well, we just launched it yesterday.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's any issues about that.
All right, I just entered Catherine Harris.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Oh, look at that. Image results. I get a queen of hearts. No, a queen of diamonds. Is that yours?
No. That's not our not our MO.
Then I get a movie phone sponsored link and an eBay link. So.
Okay. I get Catherine Harris got an F.
Mm-hmm. I'm not searching images, Matt, but I'm just doing a general search. Hmm. So anyway, we don't need to get
Is
bogged
Matt
down.
Is Matt getting the results?
Yeah, Matt's getting
them. He's getting the ads. Okay.
Yeah. And I used Explorer on a Mac. Maybe
right.
That's one of the issues.
I'll look into that. In the last 24, well, since we it went live yesterday, but we actually started it the evening, Monday evening, just to make sure. And in that time period, we've had, I think it's about 250,000 people have Googled their legislators and seen our ads.
Wow.
And does that mean somebody's going to click through, you know, just like with any advertisement? We don't know. But it's another way of presenting information to people who are out there who are interested in learning more about their representative.
I think this is terrific. What other tricks do you have up your digital sleeve there?
I can't give them all out. You know, I mean, look, you know, think tank couldn't—you really couldn't conjure up any drier image than you know when you come with the introduction that we're a think tank. But what we are trying to do is really innovate new ways of getting this think tank information out, because what it will ultimately come down to is, do people know who they're voting for? Do they know what those people are voting for, our representatives in Congress? And until we reestablish that link between the policymakers we elect and what they actually, decisions they're actually making and how that impacts our quality of life, we're not going to see any change in business as usual.
Andrea, does Drum Major have any kind of an affiliate that is not a 501c3 that can engage in activism?
We don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we view ourselves, and we have a lot of relationships with organizations that are out there on the ground, and we view ourselves as coming up with the information and the tools, and then it's up to other folks to use them. It's up to people to click on that ad. It's up to organizations to take the scorecard and give it out. And every year we do have shops that do that. We have unions who give it out to their political directors, chapter organizations that disseminate it, organizations whose sole mission is to cultivate new candidates, give it out to those folks. So, you know, we try hard to get it out. But, you know, we want to occupy that space of producing this information and letting others run with it.
And are some of those others, for example, Move On or AARP or Common Cause, groups with pretty large memberships?
We try, and we're in conversations with Move On. You know, some organizations, it's hard because, you know, you've got you have organizations that are engaged in their own lobbying. And sometimes it's not in their interest to align with an organization that's holding Democrats and Republicans equally accountable. And, you know, that's speaking up about, you know, how people voted on bills. You know, you take an AARP, they have differing opinions depending on the legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may not be in their best interest to, you know, to make a point of disseminating this to their members. And then, you know, frankly, we're going to get flack. I mean, you know, Senator Obama, he gets a C on our scorecard. He voted the wrong way on class action. You know, I mean, this is, it's a difficult space to have a whole bunch, to make new friends, let's say. So.
And if you were interested in personal popularity, you'd probably be doing something else.
Probably.
Yeah. And what kind of feedback do you get? Does Obama's office call and say, how could you do this to us?
Not yet.
Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet.
Have any others complained?
Nobody's complained. We have had, you know, people who've gotten A's have been appreciative. But no angry calls.
Mm-hmm. And Andrea, tell us how you came to this work. I know you went to the University of Chicago.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, growing up in Brooklyn, the New York City Board of Education at that time created a position for students to sit on the board. And at that point, I realized kind of how valuable it was to have different voices in a policymaking setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been obsessed with that ever since. And this is, you know, hopefully a continuation of that work through DMI.
Well, I certainly sense that you're a fellow traveler burdened with too many opinions.
Yeah. Well, but thankfully you invite me to be on the show, so
well,
I can express some of that.
And I'll invite you to come back. Thanks
that's
for joining
great.
Us today.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger, she's executive director of the nonprofit called Drum Major Institute for Public Policy. Visit their website again, drummajorinstitute.com, and you can read this congressional scorecard for yourself. And it may surprise you, particularly the decline in Democratic support and advocacy for the middle class. Coming up next, We're going to take a look at AT&T's revised privacy policy that, essentially says we can give the government your records and you don't need to know about it, and we don't need a warrant either. We'll talk with San Francisco Chronicle business columnist David Lazarus next, right here.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
You'll turn to that station.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Military personnel charged in the death of an Iraqi civilian.
There's sufficient evidence at this point to charge all of them with premeditated murder.
Protecting women from the cervical cancer virus.
It can reduce the risk of infection with condom use.
This is Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Expected for some time, the charges have been filed at Camp Pendleton, California. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports seven Marines and a Navy corpsman are accused in the death of an innocent Iraqi.
The charges are among the most serious that any member of the military can face.
Kidnapping, murder, and conspiracy.
Colonel Stuart Navarre made the official announcement. The case stems from the killing of an Iraqi civilian last April. The eight men are accused of dragging the man from his home, then shooting him.
It is important to note that the charges and specifications are accusations against the individual, and the accused is presumed innocent.
But Colonel Navarre made clear that members of the military will be held accountable for their actions.
All Marines are trained in the law of armed conflict and are expected to fully comply with it.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Military officials will not confirm or deny reports that at least one of the two American soldiers kidnapped and killed in Iraq was beheaded, but an Army spokesman describes their treatment as horrific. In Madras, Oregon today, Margaret Tucker talked about her son Thomas and his motivation for serving in Iraq.
He said, "I want to feel respected, and I want to feel like I'm doing something for myself and for my country. And I want my life to have meant something."
Now this.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunt.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore. Erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
A gun battle today inside a federal prison in Tallahassee, Florida. CBS News correspondent Peter King went to the scene.
Federal agents were arresting one of six prison guards indicted in a sex for contraband scheme. FBI Special Agent Mike Fulmer.
These agents were out just trying to do their job, trying to do an arrest in a very controlled situation, and It just didn't go down exactly as planned.
A Justice Department agent was killed, as was the guard who opened fire as he tried to escape arrest. A prison lieutenant was wounded but will survive. An FBI shooting review team will investigate. Peter King, CBS News, Tallahassee.
Medical research offers a new reason for using condoms.
As proponents of abstinence demand limits on condom health claims, a new study shows for the first time that regular condom use dramatically reduces a woman's risk of getting a common sexually transmitted virus. Newly sexually active college women whose partners always wore condoms were 70% less likely to contract HPV, which causes genital warts and cervical cancer. University of Washington researcher Rachel Weiner says condoms can even help women who get a newly approved HPV vaccine.
While the vaccine is expected to have a great impact, women won't be protected against some other cancer-causing types that put them at risk.
This study appears in the New England Journal of Medicine. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
With the Medicare prescription drug benefit, the consumer group Families USA says there have been big price increases for most of the top 20 drugs prescribed for seniors. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews has more.
The report's most controversial finding is this comparison. It claims that private insurance plans used by Medicare pay 46% more than the Veterans Administration pays for the very same drugs. The difference is the VA directly negotiates drug prices, while Medicare relies on private competition to hold down costs.
Medicare Chief Mark McClellan says the costs of the drug plan have turned out to be much lower than predicted because overall price hikes have been held down. In Sedona, Arizona, firefighters scrambled to contain a 2,500-acre wildfire that spread into scenic Oak Creek Canyon, a spot one resident calls the most beautiful place in the world. It all started with a campfire. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Doesn't anything inspire you?
Pizza.
I should have listened to my mother.
It's the Color Inspiration Sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save 20% a gallon on a wide variety of interior and exterior paints and stains. It's great savings on the high-quality products you want. For painting and decorating, ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
It is 6 minutes past the hour. We launch into another segment of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening. And I'd like to acknowledge Benny, our personal minder at the National Security Agency. Yo, Benny, what's up? Coming up later this hour, our weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. We'll talk about the latest on the U.S. and Iran and George W. Bush's statements in Vienna today related to both Iran and North Korea. Joining me now is the business columnist who does Lazarus at Large in the San Francisco Chronicle, David Lazarus. Hi, David.
Hello, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm really well.
Yeah? Well, I feel like we're going to have to launch a little disclaimer on our program, like I just said a moment ago, that your call may be monitored and not for quality control.
No, but then again, I'd like to think that I'm getting closer to the NSA every single day. So for all you guys listening over in Langley, heads up. Hi there.
Yep. It's Lazarus and Collins, and we already have files, so just go ahead and add to them. Your column today really caught my attention, and let me start toward the end. AT&T's new and former privacy policies both state that conducting business ethically and ensuring privacy is critical to maintaining the public's trust and achieving success in a dynamic and competitive business climate. Is that a really nice way of saying you're screwed?
It's a really nice way of saying nothing at all when you stop and think about it, because the language is really noteworthy for what it doesn't say. For instance, when it says that conducting business ethically and ensuring privacy is critical to maintaining public trust, well, yeah, it is. But where in there do you see something that says, we pledge to, or we promise, or as a result, we will? There isn't that. They don't go the next step. All they have is a bumper sticker, basically, that states the obvious. But the way it's phrased is in such a way as to make you think, ah, well, this must be what AT&T thinks.
And so what exactly are they doing to revise their privacy policy, David?
Well, this policy applies specifically to Internet customers, and they've got millions of them, and their new video customers, and they intend to have as many as 19 million of those as well. And there's some specific red flags for those there. But what it does is it really revamps the company's position in terms of the data that it's bringing in and what it can do with it. And I think the most jarring declaration within the new policy is an overt statement that we own your information. And I'm paraphrasing, but not by much. They're essentially saying, yeah, this stuff might be sensitive to you, but this is business records for AT&T, and as such, we claim ownership of it. Now,
I can quote Lazarus, the column today, quote, while your account information may be personal to you, these records constitute business records that are owned by AT&T. As such, AT&T may disclose such records to protect its legitimate business interest, safeguard others, or respond to legal process. Now, let me just stop there with those three stipulations that they end that sentence with. Protect its legitimate business interests. When the government comes and says, share phone records with us, but we're not going to give you a warrant or a court order, does that fall under the legitimate business interests or safeguarding others?
Well,
it certainly doesn't qualify for the last clause, respond to legal process.
Considering that the government is one of AT&T's largest customers, you could argue that when they come knocking, it's always a legitimate business interest. The safeguarding others would be the catch-all here, and it's a little bit lower down in the new policy where they seem to expand on that. They say there that AT&T, quote, may also use your information in order to investigate, prevent, or take action regarding illegal activity, suspected fraud, or situations involving potential threats to the physical safety of any person. Right. Therefore, if the government comes and says, Peter B. Collins is in trouble, well, good enough under the new privacy policy. If there's one guy in one place who seems to be threatened, this policy seems to suggest that AT&T is prepared to swing into action and start sharing customer data.
This is breathtaking.
It is fairly breathtaking. It's a fairly remarkable admission. Now, the next question obviously has to be, how is that different from before? Because didn't they always do that? And that's one of the other things that's very interesting about the new policy. Their last privacy policy was issued in September of 2004, and it said, and this is kind of the boilerplate that you're going to see in a lot of privacy policies, it said that they might share customers' data, quote, to respond to subpoenas, court orders, or other legal process to the extent required and or permitted by law, unquote. Now, a lot of customers, when they got wind of the whole domestic spying program and the warrantless access to voice and data networks by the NSA, pointed to language like that in AT&T's privacy policy and says, you can't do this because your own policy says that you are bound to processes that are required and or permitted by law. Interestingly, in the new policy, it also has that boilerplate language again, but now it omits that clause about the legal process being required and or permitted by law, which I think is a fairly telling change in how they're doing this. And I agree with the consumer advocates who say that this undoubtedly reflects the whole NSA fracas.
Well, and David, we've talked about this a little bit before. From what we know, and let me be candid, that there's more that we don't know about these eavesdropping and data mining programs than what we do. But that said, we do know that the government did not use the FISA court to gain the cooperation of the phone companies that did collaborate by coughing up our phone records. And it appears that rather than go through a legal process like that, or use the data mining operation that Poindexter had at the Pentagon, they came up with a better idea, which was simply to buy this information from the various phone companies who were willing to sell it. And that transaction appears to have violated the prior privacy policy, but the way this is written, I kind of guess it doesn't.
It's really an open call. I've been going over the policy today for a follow-up I'm working on for Friday, where I'm going to delve into the legal minutiae of what AT&T is saying, and it's fascinating. You talk to legal scholars, and you realize how much gray area exists for something like this, and you also realize how artfully the new privacy policy has been worded to essentially encompass almost any act that might fall under the terrorism rubric. And so you really can appreciate how in our current times and our current situation, a telecom company of AT&T's stature feels that it needs the maximum flexibility to respond to government requests. And the experts I've been talking to today say, look, if AT&T is doing it, everybody else is going to be doing it soon too.
But David Lazarus, I can rest assured that I'll be able to opt in or opt out of this new privacy policy, right?
Oh,
they
yeah,
can't just
Peter.
They can't change it on me unilaterally, can they?
Oh God, no, opt in and opt out. No, I'm sorry, my friend. As it turns out, what they're saying up front,
I can dream, can't I?
Oh, you can dream and then you can wake up and smell that harsh coffee, because in the past they laid out their privacy policy and there were no strings attached to it. It was basically just, here's our policy, make of it what you will. The new policy has a very interesting new wrinkle, and that is up top, in boldface, it says acceptance of this policy is going to be a condition for service. In other words, take it or leave it. If you are going to maintain your business with AT&T, you are tacitly accepting this policy and all of the provisions therein, which makes you complicit to any data sharing that follows.
And this will be effective when?
On Friday.
Oh, I love the notice they gave us.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that we can ponder
time.
This, talk to our legal counsel, and decide whether to remain a customer.
I think they're just kind of hoping that most people wouldn't notice it. I think they're probably pretty upset they're getting a whole lot of attention today.
Wow. David, we're going to take a break, come back and talk about this a little more. Then I want to talk about the debate in Washington over so-called net neutrality. If you have a question or comment for David Lazarus, business columnist of the San Francisco Chronicle, join us right now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show and the National Security Administration. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
KRXA 540 cares about traffic congestion. That's why we ask Amy Knight to fill us in on the latest conditions on the roads.
Peter, we're already busy in Gilroy. Highway 152 at Lover's Lane, an accident with a pull down. The vehicle actually, the pull went through the vehicle's windshield. So the good news is no injuries reported in this accident. The Highway Patrol is on scene. So expect some delays as motorists stop to take a look at this interesting sight on Highway 152 at Lover's Lane. In Carmel, Highway 1 at Ocean Avenue, a broken down car is in the lanes there. And Del Monte Avenue between Sloat and El Camino El Estero, you'll find some projects being done in the area.
Let's say it again, Estero, Camino del Estero.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
El Estero.
And this report is brought to us by?
It's brought to you by the Reno Hilton.
Thank you. Twenty minutes past the hour, the Peter E. Collins Show rolls on. Your privacy has been downgraded. We're talking about the new policy being implemented on short notice, goes into effect this Friday from AT&T, which of course swallowed up SBC and is one of the major telecom providers here on the West Coast now. We're talking with David Lazarus. He writes Lazarus at Large, a column in the San Francisco Chronicle's business section. And, David, as we look at this situation, I recall a few years ago, well, let me back up. I have been a customer of SBC, now AT&T, for Internet services for over 10 years. And I use the old Pac Bell email address, which is considered a legacy account. And they tried many times to get me to convert to an SBC Yahoo account, and I didn't do it because the privacy policy of an SBC Yahoo account was much less stringent than the policy that I had grandfathered in from the old Pac Bell. And so I've been operating under the illusion that I have a slightly higher level of privacy protection than other people do who use now AT&T services. But that doesn't matter anymore, does it?
No, it sounds like, in fact, you're about to get a profound wake-up call. Now, in the past, and I've heard this from many people, that the SBC has tried to transition all the former customers into the new SBC, now AT&T Yahoo service.
Mm-hmm.
The trick to that, of course, is you fall under not one but two corporate privacy policies, not just AT&T's, but also Yahoo's.
Right.
And as I've written in the past, Yahoo has some red flags in terms of data they share with marketers, and it's a whole slog to try and get through both privacy policies. So in a sense, you were probably doing right and protecting yourself, but now I have to say that by comparison, Yahoo's privacy policy looks a whole lot more friendly.
Uh-huh. And where can I go? I mean, I get the message here, and I don't want to stay with AT&T under these circumstances, but it's likely that any other carrier I sign up with is going to embrace the same conditions.
This is a tricky question, and I've gotten this from dozens of readers today asking just that. What do I do now? And it's hard because if you want to switch for calling, there are a number of other companies that provide local and long distance. Many of them, like, say, Working Assets, have extremely enviable and admirable policies. The unfortunate thing is most of their calls are going over AT&T's network. They are resellers. of AT&T service.
I thought they were Sprint resellers working assets, but I guess...
No, I think the trouble is much of that all goes over the same networks anyway, because the big guys, Sprint and Verizon and MCI and AT&T, all share their networks with one another.
Yeah, the pipes are all common.
So you're never going to quite get away. Now, DSL is even trickier because there are other resellers of DSL service throughout California, but most of those, in fact, will be sending your traffic over AT&T's network again. So if your problem is the NSA listening in, switching to another DSL provider isn't exactly the right answer. Now, it looks like one of the few ways, if you really were determined to get out of AT&T's hands and get into somebody else's clutches, you would be looking at for calling voice over internet protocol or VoIP telephone service offered by, say, one of the cable companies. Now, the cable companies, Comcast in our neck of the woods, have their own network. In no way does it ever touch the phone company's network, but then again, it's Comcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like I'm going out and saying go there.
Right. All right, Steve from Salinas, join us. You're on with David Lazarus on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I'm just curious about options, what you're talking about. Is Qwest a possibility of ever getting down here? And what about other cell companies, Singular? Or I've heard that they wouldn't give the information out.
Well, that would be nice to think. Qwest was the one good guy in the USA Today story about the NSA compiling this massive database of phone calling records. Qwest was apparently the only major telco, according to that story, that said, no, thank you, let's go see that warrant. Other than that, Qwest doesn't win a whole lot of points for consumer friendliness. They've had a fairly rough go. They do not offer their service in California at the moment, and as far as I know, they have no plans to go beyond their current bailiwick, so I wouldn't hold my breath there. And then Singular, well, they're majority owned by who? Yes, AT&T. So, you know, I don't know if that's your answer either.
And I'm a Singular cell customer. It sucks. I'll just tell you that. It sucks.
Okay. Are there any cell phone companies that would be better for
it? I'm not familiar with any cell phone companies that I would be prepared to say, boy, these guys are the gold standard. A lot of the wireless companies try to be very competitive and try to do their best to lock in customers, but as anyone who's looked at their policies has seen, once you're in the family, you are locked in. There's all sorts of onerous terms and hidden charges, and I don't think any wireless company gets the gold star for actually being really customer friendly.
Steve, thanks for your call. By the way, I got your email. The NSA let it through, and we'll talk about it next hour.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. Now I want to turn, David Lazarus, to the debate in Washington over so-called net neutrality. And in simple terms, the telecom industry wants to provide tiered service so that they can charge some people a higher rate to deliver higher speed internet connections or downloads, and others will be left in their wake. What's the latest on this battle?
Well, the latest on the battle is the House approved legislation that would basically give the telcos everything they want. And to put it in even simpler terms, these guys own the roads, and now they want to play traffic cop by deciding who gets where they're going faster, and in return for that guaranteed reliability, they want their palms greased a bit more. And so in a real-world example, let's say Netflix is about to take its DVD service and do delivery over the Internet instead of on DVDs, which is exactly what Netflix says they're going to do. According to AT&T and Verizon and the other big boys out there, Netflix should have to pay more for reliable service than other content providers on the Internet because they're going to be using up more bandwidth. And you can kind of see their point there, except one reason that AT&T and Verizon are saying that a lot of the bandwidth is being clogged up is because both these companies are rolling out their own phone-based video services. They are taking over the Internet, and they're trying to relegate what's left to everybody else and charging top dollar for anybody who wants to be guaranteed they're going to get through. Now, the House said, okay, fine by us, and passed that. The Senate is expected to take it up tomorrow, and from everything I've seen out there, it doesn't look like anything in the Senate legislation, at least that which is favored by the Republican majority, is going to do things any differently.
Your colleague Vern Kopitoff reported in yesterday's Chronicle that there is discussion now of an Internet Consumer Bill of Rights. Is that just a smokescreen?
You know, it's nice to get excited by something like that, but you really don't think that it's going to lead to all that much. And if it gets to any point where Congress is taking it seriously, well, at that point, you know that all those who have a vested interest in this are going to start weighing in, and as we saw with the whole net neutrality debate, the telcos are prepared to spend millions and millions of dollars to get their way. So it's hard to imagine that any sort of Bill of Rights would have much clout. And you can look at the California example. The state PUC passed a telecom Bill of Rights a couple of years ago, and it promptly got crippled by the telecom industry.
Yeah. Well, David, this is disturbing news. Thank you for bringing it to us.
Oh, always happy to be a ray of sunshine here.
All right, we'll talk again soon. That's David Lazarus, Lazarus at Large, in the Chronicle Business section. And our privacy rights have been severely set back. That's what's clear to me. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna, the latest on Bush and Iran, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Get more information and access to our archives at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you found it. I am your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we open up the phone lines for the free speech zone, subject to the privacy policy of AT&T. Joining us now for our weekly briefing is Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter at RawStory.com. Hello, Larissa.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I missed you last week. I was on duty in Washington, D.C.
So I hear. How did that go?
Oh, it was interesting. It was the Take Back America conference, and
right.
I'm not sure exactly how much taking is in the offing, but it was a good gathering of like-minded people, and we had some very interesting speakers there. What was interesting is I cannot recall anyone mentioning a thing about Iran.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. yeah, it's truly bizarre. What if you remember the MEK report I did, apparently now it's old news, so nobody feels like following up. Whereas and before it was no news, now it's old news. So there we've gone, you know, there's no in-between anymore.
Well, it is interesting how there are parallel universes now, and hardworking people like you dig up stories and report them. And occasionally, the New York Times or other major outlets will acknowledge that and pick up on it. But often, they kind of elide over it and then act surprised when the information surfaces in their own pages. Or, as you say, they just kind of act like everybody already knows it so they don't have to report it.
Right, right. I mean, it's bizarre. I there's a talk show I've been on a couple of times that... you know, one time I was on and I was asked, why is no one else reporting this? And a couple of weeks later, I was on and it was already old news. So I don't know what happened in between.
Was that Howie Ka in Boston?
Not telling.
Okay. Some of these guys have real limited attention spans, Larissa. You have to,
yeah, I know.
Have to work with us on that. All right, you have a post just a couple of days old now at rawstory.com. Which tells us a couple of things. One is that the officials you talked to remain concerned about a U.S.-led strike on Iran, and that we now have an Office of Special Plans / Iran.
Yeah, it's called the Iranian Directorate. That is correct.
And we have Doug Feith or Fife over there?
No. He's now teaching the youngins over at George Washington University.
Mm-hmm.
So
who is running this office, and what is their mission as the public, at least as far as the public knows?
Well, I mean, this is the same lineup, and essentially it's on the policy side, which is what Feith was. He was the third at the Pentagon. He was the Undersecretary of Defense Policy. That's now being run by a guy named Eric Edelman. And so we're still in the same place physically and, you know, via the hierarchy. The same people, essentially. You've got Schultzky's there, you've got Rode, you've got Michael Ledeen denies this, but I'm told that he's consulting. So it's essentially the same group of people, minus two. One went off to teach, and probably because he's under investigation, and one, that is Larry Franklin, pled guilty to passing classified information.
And some of these folks have a connection to PNAC, and while I was in Washington last week, there was a blurb in the Post that the Project for a New American Century is in the process of shutting down. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, I saw that, but I don't think they've accomplished it yet. They were always about Iran, Syria, and I think they're just, it was a public service statement, maybe. Maybe they're misleading people and they're renaming themselves something else.
Yeah.
Perhaps Project for the, you know...
The MEK century.
Yeah, no, the Project for What We've Accomplished century thus far, or Eureka, We've Done It type of thing. I don't know. But yeah, so there's this office in the DOD now that nobody's aware of. Nobody. Not Congress, nobody. Now they are.
Let me ask you a structural question, a kind of wonky question.
Okay.
For the Pentagon to establish a new office,
right,
doesn't it require budget authority from the Congress? Don't they have to authorize the money, and doesn't there have to be, you know, a written proposal?
Well, you know, there has to be some sort of discussion. If they're saying it's some sort of, remember, the Pentagon has absorbed the CIA, essentially. So I don't even know if this, how they deal with things at this point. Because in Congress, everything's been restricted to 8 members of Congress, all the flow of information. And the CIA has been absorbed, which is how they're able to justify using MEK, which is, in my opinion, still legal, but, so, one would think that they, yes, they would. To answer your question, yes, they would. But given how things have been going, I don't know if they've created a whole new methodology that no one's privy to. That said, they still have to brief, even if only those 8, they still have to brief them. And by all accounts, no one's been briefed. Well, at least on the Democratic side, no one's been briefed.
Mm-hmm.
On the Republican side, they just won't answer me, so I don't know.
In the article that was posted on June 15 at rawstory.com, you quote John Pike of Global Security, a Washington-based intelligence clearinghouse.
Isn't that a great quote in there?
Yeah, you say he was less polite in his description of the old Office of Special Plans.
Right.
It was created to, as Dean Acheson urged Harry Truman, to scare hell out of the American people by making things a little bit clearer than the truth.
Right.
That's precious.
I know. It's fantastic. It's almost as precious as Ledeen's commentary about the festival he was attending in Naples.
All right. We'll get to Michael Ledeen in a moment. But you have a dueling quote here from Lieutenant Colonel Barry Venable, spokesman for the Pentagon.
Right.
And confirmed the creation of this directorate for Iran in both a phone call and an email. And, quote, as the State Department stated in early March, the U.S. government is organizing itself better to address what Secretary Rice called one of the great challenges for the United States, a strategic challenge for the United States and for those who desire peace and freedom. As a counterpart to the State Department's new Office of Iran Affairs, the Department of Defense has split off a new directorate for Iran-related policy issues from the existing Directorate of North Gulf Affairs in the Office of Near Eastern... Boy, I'm buried in acronyms, and I haven't even finished the sentence.
Yeah, let me just help you.
Please.
Under Edelman, third in the Pentagon,
this
just
is
like
Eric
Feith.
Edelman. Uh-huh.
Yep, just like Feith. It's that simple. There's no need to go into all the acronyms.
Okay.
He's trying to... I love when I get the Pentagon extra comment this much because they end up really selling a product. Do you get the idea when you read this? It's not so much a yes or a no. They have to give you how this will secure the world and how wonderful this is.
Of course, yeah.
Right. And so I think the most important part about his comment is that, yes, there is such a department. Yes, it was established in March. And, yes, as one would expect, it's exactly where it was last time around. It's only renamed. So I think that's really the only important points to take out of his Venable's response there.
Okay. Now let's turn to Michael Ledeen, who appears to at least enjoy talking with you enough to take your calls and offer curious denials and explanations. But he surfaced when we've been talking about the Wilson Rove scandal, the Niger uranium claim, the phony documents that originated with Italian, apparently, you know, former or current Secret Service or CIA types in Italy.
Excuse me,
and,
correct.
Thank you. And Ledeen also maintains a friendship with Monokhar Gorbanifar, who
right.
was the Iranian arms merchant who featured at the center of the Iran-Contra affair back during the Reagan years. So Michael
As was Ledeen,
Ledeen. Right. So tell us about your recent conversation with Ledeen and how it fits into this new Iran unit at the Pentagon.
Well, I had heard from the same sources that Michael Ledeen had gone to Rome and had met Gorbanifar there, and so I called him and asked him. And he is fairly open in terms of discussing things, I found. So he did, in fact, confirm that he went. And why this is important is because last time Michael Ledeen and Gorbanifar met in Rome is when all of this happened with, as you pointed out, the Niger forgeries. and SISME. Although it hasn't, I wouldn't say it's been proved that Michael Ledeen was involved in the forgeries. He just happens to connect all the variables, if you will, and all of the people who seem to be the prime suspects in this in the forgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he does confirm that he went, but not directly, that he initially had gone to Naples for a festival. And,
the San Gennaro Festival.
Right. And he's doing a book on Naples. So he went with his wife, Barbara, and after that they went to Rome and they met up with some friends, and some of those friends happened to be Gurbanifar and his wife, and they got together and, I don't know, played cricket. I just don't know what one does.
I would imagine it was a, you know, civil game of whist.
Could be. Well, the point is, you know, I mean, I think on the face of it, had the previous event not happened, that is, had this whole thing with the Niger forgeries and the meeting in Rome had not happened, and had Iran-Contra not happened, then this probably wouldn't be any big deal. But every time these guys get together, there seems to be something going on. And I think that's why certain sources were pointing me to this. And he did confirm. And in all honesty, there's no way to say whether he was having a social visit or not. You know, we could take his word for it. We could not take his word for it. But I think history shows that every time these two get together, we have a problem.
Yeah, we lose.
We lose, right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and return with Larissa Alexandrovna. We'll get her comment on President Bush's visit to Vienna today and some of the challenging remarks offered up by a Viennese government official. If you have a question or comment for Larissa, there's room for your call. Join us at 831-899-5792. That's the Central Coast number, 831-899-5792. Or use our toll-free line, Good Coast to Coast, 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushes.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic this afternoon. 447, here's Amy Knight.
Things are really heating up out there, Peter. If you're traveling on North 101 just before Dunn Avenue and Morgan Hill, you'll find an accident. It's been cleared off to the shoulder, but it does involve a pickup truck and a big rig. Looks like a minor fender bender there, but you might find some travelers stopping to take a look as you travel on the north and southbound side of 101. In Gilroy, Highway 25 at Bolsa Road, you'll find three cars involved in a minor accident. Highway Patrol on scene taking a report, and that earlier problem we had, Highway 152 at Lover's Lane, is now clear. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour.
Okay, great.
All righty. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. The Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome here, 831-899-5792 if you're in the Central Coast area. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. We continue now with Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com. And Larissa, the president is in Europe for a couple of days at least, and he arrived in Vienna earlier today. And was challenged at a news conference over the Iraq War, Guantanamo Bay, and rising anti-American sentiment. And initially, he was defended by Austria's Chancellor Wolfgang Schussel. He first said, well, I think it's grotesque to say that America is a threat to the peace in the world compared with North Korea, Iran, a lot of countries. But then he went on to say, we can only have a victory in the fight against terror if we don't undermine our common values. It can never be a victory, a credible victory, if we give up our values, democracy, rule of law, and individual rights. And the President Bush won backing for his demand that North Korea abandon plans to test fire a long-range missile, and he also apparently got solidarity, described here by the Associated Press,
right,
in pressing Iran to accept a two-week-old offer of incentives in return for a moratorium on uranium enrichment. And the president of Iran said Wednesday that Tehran will respond in mid-August, but the president is trying to squeeze that timeline a little bit. Now, do you think it's fair to say that European allies support the U.S. position currently vis-a-vis Iran?
No, I don't think so. I think of, well, I mean, let me rephrase that. I think that was too simple of an answer. I think they are attempting to try to mediate some of this, and they're trying to perhaps come up with something, because frankly, what will they do? It's not like they can stop the United States from doing whatever it wants. So I think they're trying to sort of be the mediators in this, but there are some in the union who do support this administration's policy. And I might add that the incentives package, my understanding is that it's got three deal killers in it. And although I don't know what they are exactly, I know one of them is that Iran has to prove that an enrichment program is economically profitable for them. I believe that's one, and that's fairly broad explanation of that, but there are deal killers in that, and because there's been such restricted access to the incentives package, most people I've talked to don't know exactly what's in there, but they all seem to believe that there are three. So,
well, is it true that to date we haven't actually shared the carrots with Iran? We have only shared the sticks.
Right. It's all posturing, frankly,
mm-hmm.
because as listeners of your show at least, and certainly my readers would know, everything is being done to undermine any real diplomacy, any real effort to communicate with Iran, to negotiate anything with Iran. There's just nothing but a consistent move by the vice president's office to undermine any effort by the State Department. So, and we know that Gurbanifar, once again, who we just discussed, is being used by the vice president's office to surveil the ambassador to Iraq, Khalilzad, We know that Chalabi's inserted himself. We know that we're running MEK without presidential finding in the south of Iran already assassinating people. We know quite a bit that put together would appear to be less than diplomatic. Mm-hmm. And so anything else that's being said, I think perhaps I think one could see it as the European Union on maybe trying to buy some time and figuring out how to get it, you know, resolve the situation, or perhaps they're, you know, in hoping to mediate it, they want to see a new direction here in November, and they're trying to extend that even further. I would say it's probably similar for the Iranians. I think they're going to try to push this as close to November as possible, perhaps in hopes of getting a different Congress here to mm-hmm. you know, rein in some of this executive power.
Has there been any change in the posture of China or Russia toward the U.S. and its hard line toward Tehran?
I don't. Do you think Iran, or you mean the U.S.'s hard line?
Yes, that's
okay,
what
I'm
I was
sorry,
referring to.
I thought you meant the hard line. Okay.
No, China and Russia.
This is what
have
I get
been...
for taking a nap before your show.
Okay, but China and Russia generally have opposed the U.S.'s efforts
yes.
to ratchet up the pressure on Iran.
Right, and they will, and they will defend Iran, and they will they won't have to do anything, you know, military related, because all they have to do is play with the oil prices or, you know, drop the dollar, and we're done. So, I think having, at the very least, Russia as one of the permanent members who is so opposed and who is also an ally of Iran might, you know, slow this train wreck down. And certainly that gives me some hope, although I'm not, you know, a big fan of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, I think everyone's biding their time and trying to find different ways to inject themselves into this in order to either, you know, as I said before, extend the time period so that they can move closer to the November elections here, or to try to mediate the situation and see if they can perhaps provide something of value. But I think the most important thing to know about this is that there is no honest diplomacy going on. And I think once people understand that, they'll see this for what it is and understand that we're merely playing games and, moving things around until we're ready to do what we want to do.
And with all this attention we've given to Iran over the last few months, Kim Jong-il's feeling left out. And so he's got a bottle rocket that he wants to ship off into the air. I don't think it's occurred yet. I haven't heard that, but it's supposed to be imminent.
Right.
And, you know, the United States is acting like this is, at least Rice has indicated that she considers it a major provocation. Isn't that giving him what he wants?
Yeah, but in reality, what is the United States going to do? I mean, frankly, we have no... we have, as we now know, at least in Europe, we're seen as a worse threat. We have no standing in the world. Our military is crippled. We're making threats at everybody at anything that just blinks at us the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bolton, our ambassador, walked away, would not have talks with anyone about this. He said, "No, I'm not interested." I mean, this is getting crazy, and what do we do to address this growing threat? We declare that we're going to, you know, dust off our Star Wars little thing, our missile defense shield,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to go ahead and use that. And that thing hasn't been tested successfully at all. So.
Well, but this, I was talking about this yesterday, Larissa, and in some ways, while I don't want the U.S. to fail in a demonstration of the Star Wars system...
Right, I don't either.
I don't believe that it works, and we've seen to date that they've had to rig the tests to even come close to a performance that matches the projection and the blueprint.
Right.
But here we have a situation where we know roughly when, and we know almost exactly where... A missile is coming from. That's a huge leg up under most of the scenarios that Star Wars is intended for.
Yeah, and you know
so
what?
So with those advantages, why don't we try to shoot it down?
Well, I think at this point, because we have no standing. If there was no Iraq war, if this presidency hadn't imposed its out of control agenda, where they're holding people captive who are innocent, they're torturing people. I never thought I would see in my lifetime meetings at The Hague discussing whether or not to bring war crimes charges against the U.S. So I think at this point, where diplomacy is so much needed and so much reaching out to the international community is needed, to turn automatically to military action just underscores that that's all we want, and that's what makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I sure do.
Lays the argument that has been often made by our enemies, and that is that we're an enemy state.
We're a rogue nation and a threat to world peace. Larissa
right.
Alexandrovna, thanks for joining us. Read all about it at rawstory.com.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The long-expected charges against seven Marines and a sailor were filed today. They're accused of murdering an Iraqi civilian in April. Retired Marine Colonel Jane Siegel is a lawyer for one of the defendants.
We have been hearing through leaks for at least a month that the government was looking at that sort of charge. And, of course, there was some reason to believe that because they had him locked in maximum custody for so long.
They're in the brig at Camp Pendleton, California. CBS News correspondent David Martin has details.
The charge sheets allege that these eight men broke into the Iraqi's house, dragged him away, bound him hand and foot, shot him, and planted a stolen shovel and rifle next to his body to make it look like he was an insurgent caught in the act of planting a roadside bomb.
A fourth Army soldier has been charged with murder in the fatal shootings of three Iraqis last month. The men were in custody after a raid, and initially the soldiers claimed they were shot trying to escape. Debate in the Senate today on the future in Iraq.
It is now time for the United States to set a date for the beginning of a stand-in.
Michigan Democrat Carl Levin offered a compromise plan that calls for the start of a withdrawal, but with no timetable. Other Democrats want to set a date to get out. Arizona Republican John McCain says either option would be a mistake.
The jihadists will interpret the withdrawal as the triumph of their brutal tactics against our power. And I do not believe they will stop with Iraq.
Voting is tomorrow. At a federal prison in Tallahassee, shooting broke out this morning. Two people were killed. CBS News correspondent Peter King is there.
The crime scene technicians in their white suits and hats have left. Now FBI Special Agent Michael Fulmar says his investigators will move in soon.
Our agency has what's called a shooting review team. That shooting review team is coming here to Tallahassee this evening.
The shootout happened as federal agents were starting to arrest six prison guards indicted in a sex for contraband scheme. One of the guards and a federal agent apparently shot each other. A prison employee was wounded, but is expected to survive. Peter King, CBS News, Tallahassee.
It's a struggle in Sedona, Arizona. Tony DeMasters is among the firefighters battling a 2,500-acre blaze that's entered Oak Creek Canyon.
It's very hot and very dry. The temperatures are climbing, RHs are dropping, and so our main priority right now is, one, firefighter safety, and as well as the public within the Oak Canyon area here.
Most homes and businesses are on the east side of the canyon. The fire is to the west. There's a highway that runs through the middle, and they're trying to use that road as a fire break.
The new Goodyear blimp has a name. It's the Spirit of Innovation. The name picked from 21,000 entries was suggested by a high school chemistry teacher in Uniontown, Ohio, who gets free use of the blimp for a day. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's up 104 points to close above 11,000. This is CBS News.
Doesn't anything inspire you?
Pizza.
I should have listened to my mother.
It's the Color Inspiration Sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save 20% a gallon on a wide variety of interior and exterior paints and stains. It's great savings on the high-quality products you want. For painting and decorating, ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
While Cher campaigns for better helmets for the troops, other improvements to military equipment are already in the works. Heather Bosch of Seattle Station KIRO has the story.
The latest Defense Appropriations Act to pass the U.S. House includes about $6 million for outdoor survival gear from the Pacific Northwest. Congressman Brian Baird says, for instance,
there's a company out of Oregon called Hemcon that makes a remarkable bandage that incorporates shrimp chitin, that if you put it on a wound, it begins to congeal the blood right away, and have actually saved lives with people with femoral artery hemorrhages.
Other products include flame-resistant combat gloves and more efficient water purifiers from Seattle Company. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
Year-long deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan really take a toll on the troops and their families. Army Secretary Francis Harvey says they have a long-range plan for shorter combat tours, maybe 6 to 9 months. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunt.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is Declare, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The lines are open for you right now at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. And you can call me toll-free, too, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We've got a lot to talk about. We kicked off our program today with a powerful apology from Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, a progressive Democrat from the Chicago area, who apologizes to those of us who believe the presidential election of 2004 was stolen in Ohio. She apologized for not taking the issue seriously enough until she read Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s powerful piece in Rolling Stone magazine. She also affirmed that Rahm Emanuel, her Democratic colleague from Chicago, who chairs the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, has read the article because she watched him do it on an airplane ride. And she is pressuring Rahm Emanuel to issue a call to arms of Democrats across the country to be vigilant over election issues this year. And I am very pleased to hear that. We also heard the disturbing report just an hour ago from David Lazarus, the business writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, that without any notice or any option given to its customers, AT&T is imposing unilaterally a new privacy policy on its internet and video streaming users. Apparently does not apply yet to regular old phone customers. But this new privacy policy essentially says you have no rights, and we can share your information with the government if we feel like it. This is very chilling, and George Orwell must feel the chill himself right now. So tell me what you think about these or any other issues in the news. Again, my numbers, 831-899-5792. Or toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And when the phone company gets ready to shaft us, well, I just have to reach into my audio arsenal and fight back a little bit.
We don't know.
Hi, my name is Jeannie, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
Oh, I'm Larry, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
I'm Nancy, and I don't know what I'm doing.
We don't know.
For the only phone company in town, you don't have to know what you're doing, and there's really nothing anybody can do about it. You can try to complain, but you probably won't get through. The phone company.
We don't know what we're doing.
In other news, the United States Senate pushed back a Democratic proposal to increase the minimum wage. Oh, aren't you surprised by that? 52 votes were there to support the measure, and they needed 60 for cloture, you know, to end debate in the Senate. And so, once again, the middle class, working class in America takes another hit at the, from the right wing and the corporatocracy in this country. Got an email from Steve in Salinas related to our first guest today, Congresswoman Schakowsky. He says, I have no doubt the 04 election was stolen. Question. If it can be proven beyond any doubt, let's say Blackwell fesses up, can the results be changed? Is there a way that Kerry could become president effective immediately? I think we need a law or amendment that would require a re-vote if there's a high probability of election fraud or an election that is too close to really declare a winner. We also need hand-counted paper ballots. Well, I'm not a legal expert here, Steve, but I would have to say that I don't think there is any mechanism available to us now, even if it were incontrovertible that the election was stolen and tainted in Ohio in 2004. The way it works is the popular vote is simply used to determine the number of members of the Electoral College that each state gets to send to Washington. And so even if we invalidated the process by which the electors were chosen in Ohio, it's my belief, and if you're better informed on this and you disagree, feel free to call, but it's my belief that the work of the Electoral College is final, and I do not know of a process that could overturn that. I think impeachment is the appropriate response if, in fact, it's shown that the president colluded in the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. So maybe you know more about that than I do, and I always welcome people to call who do know more than I do. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Now, just a few minutes ago, the folks at truthout.org posted a new update, and this is from the editor of Truthout, Mark Ash. He's been on our program not quite as often as Jason Leopold, the reporter who visits with us weekly, and if you're a regular listener, you know Jason Leopold broke the story that Karl Rove had been indicted, and he did so around the 13th of May. And as you know, on Tuesday, June 13th, it was reported that Karl Rove will not be indicted. This leaves Truth Out in an uncomfortable position, and Mark Ash is not afraid to discuss that. First up, he says, for the record, we did reach Kimberly Nurheim, a spokesman for Patrick Fitzgerald, and we asked her these questions. Did a grand jury return an indictment of Karl Rove? Did Fitzgerald send a fax to Robert Luskin, similar to that described in recent press reports? And is Fitzgerald's probe of the plain matter still ongoing? Her response to each question was, I have no comment. So, at Truth Out, they point out that to date, we do not have proof that Patrick Fitzgerald informed Robert Luskin in any way that Karl Rove will not be indicted. And Mark Ash goes on here. He says, on June 13th, when the media broke their stories that Rove had been exonerated, there were frank discussions among our senior editors about retracting our stories outright. The problem we wrestled with was, what exactly do we retract? Should we say that Rove had not, in fact, been indicted? Should we say our sources provided us with false or misleading information? Had Truth Out been used? Without a public statement from Fitzgerald, we felt it was premature to retract our report. After spending the past month retracing our steps and confirming facts, we've come full circle. Our sources continue to maintain that a grand jury has in fact returned an indictment. Our sources said that parts of the indictment were read to Karl Rove and his attorney on Friday, May 12, 2006. Last week, we pointed to a sealed federal indictment, case number 06-CR-128, which is still sealed, and we're still pointing to it. During lengthy conversations with our sources over the past month, they reiterated that the substance of the May 13 report was correct. And immediately following that report, Karl Rove's status in the CIA leak probe changed. In summary, as we press our investigation, we find indicators that more of our key facts are correct, not less. That leaves the important question. If our sources maintain that a grand jury has returned an indictment, and we've pointed to a criminal case number that we're told corresponds to it, then how is it possible that Fitzgerald is reported to have said he does not anticipate seeking charges against Rove at this time? That is a very troubling question, and the truth is we don't have a definitive answer. We also continue to be very troubled that no one has seen the reported communication from Fitzgerald to Rove's attorney, Luskin, and more importantly, how so much public judgment could be based on a communication that Luskin will not put on the table. Before we can assess the glaring contradiction between what our sources say and what Luskin says that Fitzgerald faxed to him, we need to be able to consider what was faxed in its entirety. What appears to have happened is that, and this is where Truth Out blundered, in our haste to report the indictment, we never considered the possibility that Fitzgerald would not make an announcement. We simply assumed, and we shouldn't have done so, that he would tell the press. He did not. Fitzgerald appears to have used the indictment and, more importantly, the fear that it would go public to extract information about the Plame outing case from Rove. Yes, it does appear that Truth Out was used, but not lied to or misled. The facts appear to have been accurate. We reported them and, in so doing, apparently became an instrument. From all indications, our reports, first on May 13 that Rove had been indicted, and then on June 12 when we published case number 06-CR-128, it forced Rove and Luskin back to the table with Fitzgerald, not once, but twice. They apparently sought to avoid public disclosure and were prepared to do what they had to avoid it. So, this is all very interesting, and I understand that you might feel confused or say, well, Peter, where does all this go? And I can't answer that at this point. But I have to tell you that my gut feeling is that Jason Leopold and Truth Out have honestly reported what people told them. And it is my inference and my suspicion that they're correct, that the situation changed, that somehow the pressure of the indictment was used to get Rove to cough up information that then led Fitzgerald to decline to indict him at this time. And I think even what, you know, if you put the most positive spin on what Robert Luskin has said, it is that he was told that Rove will not be indicted at this time. And he chose to spin that as a vindication, exoneration, that he will never be indicted. And the truth lies somewhere in between there. So that's the latest from Truth Out. There may be more, and if so, we'll pass it along to you. The plot does thicken, and I hope you'll stay tuned for further installments. I know I'm interested. All right, let's go to your phone calls next. Grab a line now and let's talk. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. 17 after the hour. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, don't miss our special guest, Glenn Plantone. He'll be telling us about the hottest areas to invest in. Glenn has just returned from his second trip to Costa Rica to tell us about some amazing property there. Can you say mucho gusto? That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Now heard from Big Sur to Eureka, Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540 at 520 checks your traffic on the ride home. Here's Amy Knight.
A lot of new problems out there in Castroville, Del Monte Avenue at Highway 183, a big rig, and a taxi cab involved in a new accident. Not far away, Blackie Road at Castro Street, an accident off to the right-hand shoulder involving two big rigs, so expect a minor delay. Out in Hollister, a new problem. There's wooden pallets in the roadway 156 at Highway 25, so drive with caution. And 156 at Lucy Brown Road. Grass fire burning near the side of the roadway in San Juan Batista. The fire department on the way. They should be there shortly, but expect to see some smoke in the area. Otherwise, if you're traveling on Highway 101, that earlier problem near Dunn Avenue is in the final clearing stages. North 101, right near Dunn Avenue exit, and it's off to the shoulder. Don't hurt if you don't need...
Take two and call me later. Twenty-one minutes after the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. And I am your humble host, Peter B. This is the Free Speech Zone. And nobody's on the line right now. Now, at some talk shows, you know, they never admit that. The host will just keep, you know, monologuing until you're blue in the face from listening to him. But for whatever reason, people have other things to do. You're busy. The kids are out of school. You got to take them places. We understand. But I want to hear from you, and you can talk about any issue in the news, so get on the line now. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. And I have two items in the news about cell phones. Maybe this will prompt you to pick yours up and give me a call and talk about what's on your mind. In New York City, recently they announced a police crackdown on drug dealers and other problems, weapons in high schools. And Mayor Bloomberg announced that the police would conduct surprise sweeps at middle and high schools looking for weapons and other contraband. And at that point, principals had to admit that some of them had been breaking the rules and letting students carry cell phones in middle schools and high schools. And now the city council has gotten into the debate, and they're trying to figure out what the correct policy is for cell phones in school. And there really are two sides to the story. For parents, it can be very convenient and comforting, gives you some security to know that your kid has a cell phone and can call you when they need to, call you when the ride doesn't show up, you know, all those kinds of situations. But also, there are problems with cell phones. In the New York District, 693 have been stolen from schools just since the beginning of the last school year. And there are also problems with kids who use them for drugs and other illicit activities. The New York Times reported today another story about a cell phone. A guy named Evan Gutman got involved because a female friend of his, Ivana, left her cell phone in a taxi cab. And what she did was not just accept that her new Sidekick $350 phone had been stolen, but she went online to her phone company, T-Mobile, and was able to track down where her phone was. And a girl named Sasha apparently had taken possession of the phone. We don't know that she actually stole it. And so the victim, Ivana, found out through the web where Sasha lived, and this guy, Evan, set up a short-term website and got all kinds of average people involved in trying to track down this cell phone. People drove by Sasha's apartment in, I think, Queens, yelling out, "Thief!" And ultimately, the phone, well, let's see, he said the offer to retrieve the phone was accompanied by a threat of physical injury. So after posting a warning that Sasha had one last chance to return the phone, he accompanied Ivana to a Manhattan police station, and then she filed a report. So anyway, if you've lost a cell phone, or if you think kids should or should not have cell phones in school, you can give me a call. And now all of a sudden, all our lines are loaded. Thank you for your calls. Let's take them as they came in. Brian is first on line one. Hello, Brian. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good day, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, I just got home from work and listening to some of your banter earlier, and I really enjoyed your show yesterday with you kind of even-handedly dissed the stinkers that are in both parties, and I think that's very noble of you.
I do what I can.
Yeah, that was nice. Certainly, I'd be happy to trade you Jerry Lewis and Bob Ney for, say, Joe Lieberman or something like that if you're willing to work out a deal.
Well, and I'd give you Dollar Bill Jefferson, you know, for two corrupt Republicans to be named later.
Yeah, well, we'll have to just keep negotiating because with some of that stuff's out of our hands. But hey, I just got home and I flip on my computer and I see an article on the Cybercast News Service about 500 large caliber munition shells loaded with sarin gas and mustard gas found in Iraq. And it reminded me of something I wanted to ask you anyway before I came home. I wanted to ask you about if you were to complete this statement, George Bush is a liar because, how would you complete that statement?
Wow. There's so many ways we could go. Because he claimed that we were facing an imminent threat from Iraq, and that he claimed that Saddam Hussein was aligned with Al-Qaeda, and that invading Iraq was part of his so-called war on terrorism.
Okay. Now, that's fine. Now, if I was to make a statement that Jason Leopold is a liar because, would you be able to complete that sentence properly?
Well, so far, I don't believe he is a liar. I do agree that what he has reported has not been borne out in published documents. But so, I took quite a bit of time in the last segment to explain my thinking.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. I wish I could have heard that.
Okay. Well,
I'll try and stay closer in touch.
Yeah, basically what I said was that his reporting so far doesn't square with what has been reported. But the key question is, did Patrick Fitzgerald really give a kind of exoneration to Karl Rove's attorney in a phone call and a faxed letter? And Fitzgerald has no comment, so he won't say anything to confirm or deny. And all we have is Luskin's word that this has occurred. And one of the people on the Truth Out website, just an average user who commented, said, well, you know, if the letter really did clear Rove, we would see the whole letter and it would have been published the next day. And instead, they have kind of dribbled it out and suggested that he has been cleared, and the media has taken that as an established fact. And, Brian, to date, it is not.
Well, the point of my comment is that a person is not a liar just because something that they've said can't be proven false. And we can't prove that, you know, like my point is with Jason, his statement can't be proven true at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that it's false, and I'm gonna you know, concede that to you. That doesn't mean that his statement is false,
right.
But it cannot be proven true. And I want to say that there's a similar a corresponding application to some of the things that Bush has been accused of lying about. That can't be proven false, but as of yet have not been proven true. And I want to apply equal standard.
Okay, I understand your point. In my view, the most significant things that Bush has said that have been characterized as a lie are in fact a lie, because he knew that the truth was something else when he asserted, for example, you know, that Saddam was linked to Al-Qaeda. I'm out of time here, Brian. Good to hear from you today. Thanks for your call, and do it again. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. Our switchboard's loaded, and I appreciate that. We'll take your calls as they come in next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, just reminding you of our new time slot, 9 to 10 Saturday mornings on KRXA. We're your local progressive talk radio. We'll interview our homeless and our wealthiest, local celebrities, ordinary and extraordinary people. We keep it real here. So meet me Saturday morning right here, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. I'm Sheila Gale, and together we're Reality Radio.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. My line's available for you. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from anywhere in the continental U.S. on 1-888-579-2540. And up next, we got Dave in the Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Not
hey,
too bad.
For Brian's benefit, is a lie a lie if enough people believe it? Hey, I'd just like to have him refer to page 305 of the 911 attack, where the government says that the building fell down in 10 seconds, 8-tenths of a second, slower than gravitational velocity, as if the building did not even exist. It fell down. We have three buildings falling down at gravitational velocity, and it's flat out impossible. I'm sorry, but it's impossible. It couldn't have happened.
Okay, hey, anyway, but on that note, let's just be fair to Brian that that is not something that the president has actually lied about.
No, but he had that. He had the commission put together, and it was written out.
No. He didn't want that commission.
Oh,
he objected to it and tried to block it every way he could. But then he put his good friend Philip Zelikow in charge of the commission to make sure that they would only go so deep.
Hey, did you know, Peter, there was a Bushy in charge of security at the Twin Towers just before it, and he left?
Yeah, I think it's Marvin.
Yeah, it's all in Scholars for 911 Truth. Hey, anyways, I wanted to say about my daughter's going to start middle school next year, and we got the flyer about the dress code, and in it, no multicolored shoelaces. It was at that point when I decided, you know what, we're going to homeschool you. You're not going there. Hey, what I wanted to call about is the deal, the election in San Diego. Has anybody filed a suit yet? And what's going on with, the poll workers taking the machines home? And if I was down there, I'd be mad as hell if that happened in my district. Well, I still am mad, but I can't believe that people are going to sit by idly and let these elections, these fraudulent elections, keep occurring.
Well, what I would suggest for the very latest, go to bradblog.com. I haven't been there today. To my knowledge, the reaction so far has been a series of public statements by different groups that they have no confidence in the election. But so far, I have not heard that there's been any activity by the Busby campaign to challenge the outcome of the election.
Peter, would it take the Busby campaign to file a suit? Or why wouldn't a voter be qualified? Your vote's compromised. It seems like you'd have legal standing.
I believe you're right, but I haven't seen any activity like that so far. I think that as a class of voters in the 50th Congressional District certainly have issues about the security of the election that was conducted and other matters as well.
Hey, thanks a lot. Have a good day.
All right, Dave. Good to hear from you. Now to Audie in Aptos. Hello, Audie. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I enjoy listening to you. I have a daughter who lives right now in New Zealand. She's 45, mm-hmm. and she was wondering what the difference is between the Vietnam War and what's going on now in Iraq.
Okay.
And how the people have different feelings towards each of them.
Well, the origins were different. In Vietnam, it was that long-term involvement, first the French and then U.S. advisors, and mm-hmm. then, you know, we started to escalate under Kennedy, and then the trumped-up Gulf of Tonkin resolution that Johnson foisted on us essentially was the equivalent of Bush's, connection that he made elliptically between Saddam Hussein and the attacks of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the similarities are that the official U.S. involvement in Vietnam expanded exponentially with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, and it was based on phony intelligence and misleading information fed to the American people. So there is that similarity. And some of the military folks have started to comment just about the nature of taking on an insurgency and attempting through an occupation to impose democracy on nations where it does not occur naturally. And so I think there are some parallels there.
Okay.
The other thing that I would comment on that is not maybe essential, but I think is interesting, is that Vietnam was where we started to use contractors to do the dirty work of the U.S. military.
Uh-huh.
And we used a number of companies during Vietnam. Some, like Halliburton, are still around today. And the use of contractors for military operations, not just for support, I think is something that, you know, we should be very concerned about.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Because we end up with the people who are mercenaries. They happen to be American citizens in many cases, but they are mercenaries nonetheless because their allegiance is to a corporation that provides them with a paycheck, not a government that sanctions their work in a military organization.
Yes, and the other question was, why aren't more students protesting like they did during Vietnam? Is it because there's no draft?
I would have to say so. And let me turn it around this way, that while many people believe that hippies and people from the Summer of Love and, you know, radical liberals who were enjoying sex with anybody they could find, you know, the impression that is spawned or spun, particularly by right-wingers, about what was going on in the 1960s in this country is very skewed. In my view, it was the threat to self-interest posed by the ongoing military draft that galvanized those of us who did not want to go to Vietnam into the protest movement. And I came along at the end of the Vietnam cycle. I'm 53 now, and I was in the final draft lottery in 1972. I drew number 4.
Uh-huh.
So my butt was on the line.
Yeah.
And my interest in politics and these kinds of issues has always been very strong. But as I looked around my dormitory at college in those days, I went to Northwestern, there were a lot of people who were not terribly political or socially active, but, hey, they were on a track to go to medical school or to go to law school. And the idea of taking a detour to Vietnam was not only inconvenient, but the threat of it caused them to look at the deeper issues, like the morality of the war and whether or not they personally approved of it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, it's a daughter you have in New Zealand or Australia?
New Zealand.
Okay. You can let her know that she can listen online.
Oh, that's a thought. If she,
probably on in the middle of the night there. I can't remember how many hours difference it is between here and Auckland.
Yeah, about five hours behind us, even though they're a day ahead.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you for the call, Audie.
Thank you very much.
Nice to hear from you today. That leaves a line open at 831-899-5792. You can also call us on the toll-free line at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Now, here's a cute little story from Massachusetts. I have never had a fluffernutter, but I do crave peanut butter. And apparently in Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, there is a favorite sandwich made with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. And you heard what they're called, fluffernutters. Well, there's a big fuss going on in Massachusetts right now over these sandwiches because a member of the state Senate, Jarrett T. Barrios, was not pleased that his son had asked him to buy marshmallow fluff because he had tasted it in his elementary school cafeteria. And so Senator Dad, decided to file an amendment to a school nutrition bill to restrict schools from serving fluff, marshmallow fluff. And, of course, there is a whole movement to fight youth obesity, to reduce the amount of sugar products and other nasty junk food that is ingested at school using taxpayer dollars in so many cases. And so Senator Barrios discovered that the stuff called marshmallow fluff is made of corn syrup, sugar syrup, egg whites, and vanilla. It's been made in Massachusetts since 1920 and is mainly consumed in New England. I guess it's their answer to Vegemite. So in response to the action of Mr. Barrios, two legislators who represent the town of Lynn, Massachusetts, which is the home of Fluff's manufacturer called Durkee Mower, they filed legislation to make the Fluffer Nutter the official state sandwich. They're going to fight fat with fat. Representative Kathy Ann Reinstein of Revere is one of the legislators who is pro-Fluffer Nutter. And she said the legislature has better things to do than debate a sandwich spread. With all the stuff we're trying to do, now you're attacking a local business, taking it out on fluff. So officials for Cambridge Public Schools, where Mr. Barrio's son is a student, said that Fluffer Nutters met their nutritional guidelines and that unless the legislation passed, they had no plans to stop serving them. Reminds me of when, during the Reagan administration, they reclassified ketchup as a vegetable for the purposes of the school lunch program. So that's the kerfuffle over Fluffer Nuttle. Never mind. I can't even say it anymore. But I got to go get some fluff and try it with peanut butter. It at least sounds worth trying, wouldn't you say? 44 minutes past the hour. There's room for more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone, so get on the line now. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, we have a timely show about using and growing your intuition. World-famous author Sharon Frankamont and her daughter Megan will tell you just how to expand the way you intuit your life. This conversation and the good ideas will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Willis Harmon of Noetic Sciences said, "Intuition invites us into the center of our lives. Our show will invite you to go to your center. Here's Sharon's four simple steps for developing your intuition and the way Megan uses physical and emotional intuitive clues to make important decisions. Keep listening. We'll keep talking. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Don't miss our program on Using and Growing Your Intuition on Talking Matters this Saturday at 3.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now at 546. And Amy Knight, I owe you one, a TomTom or an Advil or something like that.
That's okay. We'll get to it. In Greenfield, North 101 before Thorne, watch out for about a dozen wooden pallets in the roadway. So drive with caution, doing a little zigzag driving in Greenfield, North 101 before Thorne. Also in Castroville, Del Monte Avenue at Blackie, you'll find a taxicab and a big rig still involved in an accident. And if you're traveling South 17 at Highway 9, much better news. That earlier accident now gone, but it's still a little slow southbound 17 between Lark Avenue and Highway 9. Well, this report brought to you by Audi. Test drive the new 2007 Audi Q7.
4.2 SUV, visit your Bay Area Audi dealer or BayAreaAudiDealer.com for info. The Audi Q7, the newest luxury SUV in the industry. Have a great ride home. Metro Amy.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're in the home stretch here. Lines are available if you'd like to talk about any issue in the news. 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. And I got word today that I'm proud to share with you. Michael Ratner has been a frequent guest on this program, along with his colleagues from the Center for Constitutional Rights. They've been front and center in the battle over civil rights and the rights of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay and other places around the world. They also represented many of the individuals who, in my view, were illegally detained after 9/11 simply because, they were Muslim or came from a Middle Eastern country. And Michael Ratner has been named by the National Law Journal as the, one of the most 100 most influential lawyers in America. And I'm very proud of his work and happy to congratulate him on that very special honor. Michael Ratner of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Back to your calls now. Jake from Arcata. Hello, Jake. Thanks for your call.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not bad. Kind of hot.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's great up here. I'm telling you, this summer weather, you know, I've been waiting for it for months. But things aren't heating up politically. The November election's right around the corner, and we have the Bush administration just desperately trying to change the subject, you know, using, you know, illegal immigrants as their great racist ploy to change the subject from what's going on in Iraq.
What do you make, though, of James Sensenbrenner's non-cooperation with the White House? He is now planning a series of road shows. I imagine he'll go on tour with Lou Dobbs, but he's going to do hearings across the country, essentially to try to prove to the White House and to the people in Washington who still have some reasonable approach, in my view, to the immigration policies. He's trying to shame them into supporting the draconian efforts to deport 5 or 6 million people who are in this country, criminalize those who are undocumented, and essentially slam the door on the people who are performing so much labor in this country at such a reduced rate.
Yeah, and it's absolutely preposterous that Sensenbrenner would push forward such a, frankly, draconian measure against immigrants when this is the land of immigrants, after all. The fact is, Sensenbrenner and these other Republican right-wingers, a lot of them are from, let's say, very, backwards parts of the country, where they have very old ideas about race. And, the Republicans are just playing to their base, and they know how to get voters to the polls. That's one thing Republicans are able to do. They're able to put their voters at the polling booths. And unfortunately, right now, the Democrats, if you look at this past election in California, where it was a 28% turnout, and Republicans were twice as likely to show up and vote as Democrats, the Democratic Party needs to start paying attention to their base. And first of all, we need to talk about Iraq getting out now, impeachment. We need to talk about what they tried to do, the Republicans, with Social Security, trying to privatize it and embezzle the funds for their Wall Street buddies. These are issues that we need to use to get voters to the polls, because if they just try this triangulation, you know, the Hillary Clinton premature triangulation, where at the conference she said that we should have no timetable. You know, these moderate DLC so-called centrists, they don't know what the hell they're doing in terms of winning elections. They keep losing election after election, but somehow these candidates are pushed forward as the ones that are electable. Give me a break. We need candidates that are going to put voters in the polling booth, Peter, and that's going to be progressive candidates this year.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and there is a struggle underway. I think that it was heightened by Hillary's performance at the Take Back America conference last week and the strong contrast that was provided by Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader of the House, and Senator John Kerry. That said, there's still a whole lot of work to be done. It's interesting. You've heard me frequently criticize our senior senator, Dianne Feinstein, on this program. But she is coming around, and Hillary isn't. And so I want to encourage Feinstein. She issued a statement today, which is very careful in its approach. But when you boil it down, she says it's time to get out of Iraq, and that most Americans recognize that. So there is some progress here. Today's New York Times, I think, mischaracterized Kerry's role, and it was written, I think, from a rove point of view. It basically said that, you know, he made people uncomfortable in 2004 because he didn't take a clear position on the war, and he's making people uncomfortable in 2006 because he's taken a clear position on the war. And I see this as the real important work that needs to be done to move the Democratic Party into as unified a position as they can possibly get to related to Iraq. And it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be pretty. I understand that. But I really have to say that John Kerry has shown unusual courage in the face of a lack of courage by his colleagues. He went out on the floor last week and carried a resolution to get out of Iraq by the end of this year, and he only got 6 votes. Now, in past episodes, I would have expected that he wouldn't even attempt it unless he had lined up the votes in advance. And you can criticize him and Feingold on the censure resolution for operating in a kind of independent manner, but given that there is so much resistance in his own Democratic caucus in the Senate, I applaud his courage in saying, I'm showing leadership. And today there are only 5 other people who are following my leadership. But by doing this, I am setting a standard, and as time passes, more and more people will move to my position and recognize that I was one of the first to acknowledge my mistakes and show leadership in trying to find a new direction.
Well, that's right. And of course, you know, the American people are way ahead of the politicians on this. And it's nice to see that Kerry, you know, 2 years late, unfortunately, has taken a clear stand on the Iraq war. This, of course, was his problem during the 2004 campaign. He was labeled as a flip-flopper, and the label stuck for good reason because, you know, Kerry was trying to play both sides of the issue. And on this issue of Iraq, there is no both sides. The war is a disaster. It never should have happened in the first place. The Bush administration lied about the weapons of mass destruction. They don't exist. It's time to go home. It's that simple.
And did you happen, I know you work, Jake, but did you happen to hear Jan Schakowsky today?
No, I didn't, but I've heard her before. She's great.
She kicked off the show at 3 o'clock, and she repeated her apology to those of us who have been calling attention to the voter issues and the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. And she actually recognizes that she and her colleagues in the Democratic Party have missed an important issue, and she's doing what she can to address that. And I just find that really heartwarming. I mean, here is a politician who apologized for ignoring some of us who are marginalized by the right and the corporate media as, you know, whining conspiracy theorists.
Well, it's not a question of theory. It's a fact. Anybody who looked at it knows that these electronic voting machines, which they put in throughout the country, Republicans passed the so-called Help America Vote Act. Actually, it was the Help Republicans Steal Elections Act. You know, in Ohio, the results clearly were monkeyed with by the Republican Party. In Florida, you know, hell, New Mexico. I mean, go across the country, and these results we're getting are strangely in the Republicans' favor against what the exit polls say. And we all know, anybody who's done polling knows that exit polls are at the point where they are dead on. And why our exit polls don't match our official results anymore in America, I think, Peter, you know why.
Yeah, exit polls are only accurate in the Ukraine, Jake.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good, Peter, to talk to you. All righty. It's time for the fictional portion of our broadcast day. I have before me a dispatch from Andy Borowitz, a humorist, and you can read his work online at borowitzreport.com.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
And this dispatch reads, Zarqawi posthumously named Al-Qaeda's Employee of the Month. terrorist worked well with others, kept work area clean, says bin Laden. A new videotape broadcast today on Arabic language Al Jazeera Network, terror mastermind Osama bin Laden named fallen terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi Al-Qaeda's Employee of the Month for June. In the tape, in which bin Laden is shown holding the Terror Network's Employee of the Month plaque and then hanging it up on the wall of his cave, the Al-Qaeda kingpin had high words of praise for Zarqawi, who was killed 2 weeks ago by a 500-pound bomb. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi worked well with others. He always kept his work area clean, bin Laden said. For this, I name him Al-Qaeda's Employee of the Month for June. Intelligence sources believe that by posthumously bestowing the Employee of the Month award upon the deceased terrorist, bin Laden may be trying to entice other madmen to assume Zarqawi's position as number three man in Al-Qaeda, a job whose previous occupants have been captured, imprisoned, or killed. Many more than once. But easier said than done, says Hassan El-Madafi, head of Al-Qaeda's Human Resources Department and the man responsible for recruiting future number threes. Back in the day, when I would interview prospective terrorists, all they wanted to talk about was jihad. Now they're asking a lot about benefits. That does it for the Peter B. Collins Show today. Trigger's here. I'm going to saddle up and head off into the sunset. We'll do it again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Hope you'll join me.
Happy trails to you until...
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Murder charges have been filed against 8 U.S. military personnel in the death of a disabled Iraqi man in April. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
The charges had been expected for some time. Marine Colonel Stuart Navarre made the official announcement.
7 Marines and 1 Navy corpsman have been charged with offenses including kidnapping, murder, and conspiracy.
The Marine colonel pointed out several times that these are, at the moment, simply allegations, and that those accused are presumed innocent. Attorneys for some of those accused have previously said that their clients did nothing wrong and that they will put on a vigorous defense. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A prison guard and a Justice Department investigator are dead after a shootout this morning inside a federal lockup in Tallahassee. It started when federal agents arrived to arrest the guard, one of 6 accused of supplying female inmates with alcohol, drugs, and other contraband in exchange for sex. Michael Fulmer of the FBI identifies the dead investigator as William Sentner.
He was in his mid-40s, and his law enforcement career, he's been with 2 or 3 different federal agencies, and I don't know the exact number of years, but we're talking probably around 15 years law enforcement experience.
Reportedly, the agents did not expect the prison guards to be armed. Larry Ellison, call Harvard, or better yet, put a check in the mail. A year ago, the founder of Oracle Software announced the largest single donation in the university's history, $115 million to fund an institute for health research. But Harvard says it hasn't seen a penny and hasn't been able to reach Ellison. 3 people hired to help run the institute have been laid off. Oracle declines to comment. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick is in Sedona, Arizona, where a 2,500-acre wildfire has entered scenic Oak Creek Canyon.
They've kept this wildfire from jumping a major roadway and racing northward, but fire officials say they still have it only 5% contained. It's been difficult to battle.
It is one of the more rugged places to fight a fire.
Burning through a steep terrain inaccessible by road.
We've been sending helicopters up with crews loaded in them, landing the crews.
Fire Information Officer Bill Watt says they can only hope the usual July rains put this wildfire out. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Sedona, Arizona.
Near Carlin, Nevada.